That's right. We're right here, Greenwood, South Carolina, Sharp Facets Gallery. And we are here with Jane Jenkins Herlong. You may remember she was Miss South Carolina. She has gone on to become quite a humorist. She has written several books. So you, let's see, that book about the Tatas is one of her books. And then, of course, her new book coming out, Bury Me With My Pearls. And she's also on the, you're with Piedmont Tech. You do a lot of different things. You're on the Foundation Board of National Speakers Association. Oh, you're a busy woman.
I am busy, Ann, and we like it, don't we, though?
Yeah, I think so.
Keep the wheels turning.
Well, you know what they say, this just came out, you know, the longer you work, you know, if you don't retire, your opportunity to get Alzheimer's is less.
Good.
A positive thing to have to work the rest of your life.
I like work.
Yeah.
You know, it just keeps you engaged.
It does. It does keep you engaged. And of course, growing up on a farm and everything, there was always work, wasn't there?
Always.
Yeah.
Always. My daddy planted those little tiny tomato plants in the spring and prayed that the hail wouldn't take them, and they grew, and we prayed some more about that hail, but yeah, it was just constant. It was very condensed, too, and talking about money.
Right.
We had like 3 weeks to make a living. That is tough.
That's stress.
Oh!
Talk about stress in today's world and everything.
Yes.
Yeah, so you've been, you of course are on, you're on Blue Collar Humor.
Right? Yeah, that's been fun. Now, I really love that.
That's on Sirius Radio.
It is.
Yes.
Sirius XM 97.
Yeah, and so you said a lot of your material ends up there, and so you could be listening to that, and all of a sudden, hey, there's Jane.
Yep, and they play the singing, the parodies, and the humor, which I just was so thrilled when they liked me. They really, really liked me.
Well, for those of you that were listening this morning, I understand I am the first person to play this. what's the name of that song?
The Waffle House Virgin.
The Waffle House Virgin. We'll be playing that during the show just so you can get a taste of Jane's humor.
Sick humor.
Sick humor. I think it's pretty fun. You know, it's taking life and looking at it and making something out of it, isn't it?
It is. You and I talked about this earlier, but it's finding the funny in dysfunction.
Right.
And I think helping people laugh more and live healthier. I think laughter is healthy. It's healing. It helps people focus. Mm-hmm. It helps people learn.
Sure.
It loosens our mind. So.
But you can get really locked down when you're in anger, when you're in anger mode.
Well, can I tell you a cute story
sure.
about missing the humor?
Right.
I was speaking in Anna, Illinois, and I had to drive to Nashville. I had a rental car. It was 4 a.m. I was dragging all my stuff on this very slick sidewalk, and boom, twisted my foot. I had to speak the next day in North Carolina. And I'm thinking, this is nice. So the whole way to Nashville, I could just feel this throbbing business. Well, I got into the airport past security, and I just hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was funny at that point.
Sure.
So I walked into one of these little airport little stores,
right.
And I said, by chance, I went up to a real cute girl, and we had a little language problem, and I said, do you happen to have an ace bandage? And she said, what? And I said, an ace bandage. She said, yes. So she took me to this wall and hands me a lint roller. Well, I explained. I said, no, honey, this is something that fits very tight and helps with accidents. No kidding. She turned around and handed me a condom.
So did you put that over your
foot? I was contemplating because I hurt so badly. I was thinking, you know, I could cut a hole in this thing and put my foot in there. I mean, I just hurt that bad. But I didn't see the funny in that.
Yes.
Until I got to my other speaking engagement. And I limped to the car. And I said, can y'all please stop at a drugstore? And I told them. And they about fell out of the car laughing. I thought, that was funny. But I missed it. Because I was stressed. And I, you know, I really physically hurt.
Right.
But it was so funny. And I opened my presentation the next day. I had a nice audience of women, and they laughed till I just couldn't hush them up. I thought, that's a keeper.
Yeah,
so that went to serious too. But anyway, a lot of times we miss the funny stuff that happens because our minds are twisted with stress,
sure,
with anger, and I just think people need to live healthier. I do. I think laughter is healing.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. And plus, if you can find the funny or find some humor in something, it can totally change your mood. Because otherwise, you can just keep downward spiraling down.
So true.
Yeah, with thoughts and everything. That's one thing my Weimaraner Gracie has taught me. I mean, she doesn't hold anything back. She lets it out there, and you know, it's always like, so what are you upset about? I'm here. What else do you need?
Isn't that precious?
It is.
And you know, dogs, when you pet them and get in your car and drive off, and then you go, up, turn around, they're jumping, doing backflips like you've been gone for 10 years, and then you walk in, your family says, what'd you forget? Stupid. And the dog's happy.
You're right. The dog is...
You're thrilled.
Yes, exactly.
So you know the old expression, I hope I can live my life like my dog, be the person my dog thinks I am.
Yes.
I love that.
That's a good one. I say Gracie is a little dog, a little girl in dog's clothing.
Aww.
Because she just is, she's just like that. And she just can do the best puppy dog eyes of any that you could ever see. But she creates a lot of entertainment because she is so much fun. She's just fun.
Yeah.
And
I
think that, you know, we need fun, particularly I think in the life that we're living right now. We need that extra fun.
We do. We have to find it. And we might have to dig.
Yes. Well, speaking of that, you were telling me we were talking about life and how much more stressful it is when you don't have money.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Gracious.
And you were telling me, as a farmer's family, you lived that stressful life. You grew up with that stressful life.
It was like being in a pressure cooker. You know, the old saying is you cut down the pressure cooker when the little man dances. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I got my pressure cooker going, I hear ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch, and I think, yep. The little man's dancing. It's steamy. It's hot. It's a lot of pressure there. Now look at that pressure cooker. And I think people are like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
They
just don't know have a really good place to funnel all that energy. And then if you don't respect that pressure cooker, it will blow up.
Sure.
So I mean, but that's what it was like many times. It's like pray and hope for the best and do your best and really that's a good life lesson too.
But sometimes even when you did your best, it wasn't good enough.
Because you can't control the elements, but you only can control how you respond to the elements. And people's lives are like that. We're talking about families, you know, my little thing, finding the funny in dysfunction. When you say dysfunction, people think, oh, yes, family. Well, I'm a very dysfunctional family I grew up in, but that doesn't mean it has to stay dysfunctional with me because I've chosen a different path. I mean, I was told I was dyslexic. I'd never be able to go to college. My advisor looked at me and said, do you have any pull? And I said, Daddy has a John Deere. I mean, that's what I was thinking about, Paul. But I decided to make something out of me and with the help of God. And it has worked for me. And I just decided not to listen to that. And then went on the way to Miss America, had a ball, and then springboarding into writing. And I got an F in writing in college. But then I wrote my first book. It's like, really? Make me not do my best. Make me. I dare you. And so the writing has just morphed into a contract. Mm-hmm. And I'm very thrilled. But it wouldn't have happened had I sat around thinking about, oh, woe is me. I don't have a good family. I can't do these things. I mean, I had a loving family. There are problems, you know. And especially after both my parents have passed away now. You know, my brother has a very bad drug problem. And my sister died prematurely. And she just was very eaten up with bitterness and anger. And it just does not serve people well. I think, and I've seen it firsthand, what these negative emotions can do to people's lives. It can ruin your life.
Yes, it can.
It can ruin it.
Yes.
So the book is about that, Bury Me With My Pearls. It's about a spiritual twist with humor. And it's got biblically based principles for healthy living. And it's funny.
Well, you know, we need humor, but we also need to learn from these experiences, too.
We do. And we have to have a basis of which we build our hopes on. And mine is a lot of biblical teaching. And I've done a lot of studying and read a lot of books on mental health issues. And I just finished reading one. And it's called Necessary Endings by Dr. Henry Cloud. And it just simply says, there's some things you have to stop hoping for that are hopeless. Give yourself permission to hope in more hopeful things and quit hoping in hopeless. That was very freeing.
That is very freeing.
It's very freeing. It's very simple.
Yes.
Quit trying to fix something you didn't break. You know?
Quit. Or like women always saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Well, what are you sorry for?
I know.
You know, I didn't do it. I didn't have anything to do with it, but I say, I'm sorry.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was, and then talking about there three kinds of people. People that are wise, that will listen, that want to listen, that want to grow. People that are foolish, and you only speak to them in consequences. You don't. You sit there and try to reason, rationalize. And then he says, so help me, they're evil people.
Yeah,
I mean, there are evil people. And there are only three ways to deal with evil people. You many times have to use lawyers. Many times you have to defend yourself, you know.
That's true.
And then money.
Yes.
So that's pretty smart. Somebody to just bottom line. And these are good Christian authors, too. And I appreciate that. Well, Dr. Cloud's great, you know.
Sure. Well, we are here with Jane Jenkins Herlong. We are going to hear a quick word from our sponsor. If you've got a question for Jane, hey, give us a call. 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
That's right. We are back 4:21 in the afternoon. Now, we should talk a little bit about this new book that's not coming out till November. Bury Me With My Pearls, Jane Jenkins Herlong. What made you write this book?
My mother and I were very close, and she was in Roper Hospital, and her admissions to the hospital were becoming more frequent. And I remember they'd always put us in a nice room. And I was just stretched out, and she said, you know, my mother, your grandmother, McElveen, said, bury me with my pearls. And that just hit me, and I thought, what a great title for a book. And it's particularly for women, and, you know, in the South, we love pearls. Mm-hmm. So I started thinking about our pearls and what we collect during our lifetime. And symbolically, we might be buried with the physical pearls, but we should leave the treasures of life lessons with those behind us. Mm-hmm. So although we're buried in our jewels, so to speak, don't ever let go of the fact that you are preparing your next generation and your next and your next and your next.
Sure.
So it's about the oyster shell, which mm-hmm. protects the pearl.
Yes.
The first chapter is funny. It's about my mother's of pearls, which were my mother, Eleanor, and her sidekick that helped us for 50 years, faithful, wonderful second mother to me. Her name was Ruth.
Right.
Nicknamed Tootsie.
Right.
And we just had a ball together. I loved being with those two. They made me laugh. They didn't make me just laugh. They made me snort. You got to have snort friends and snort people. So they make me snort.
And so you talk in the book about?
Well, about the whole last chapter is Precious Pearls of Laughter. And it's about funny stories about my mother, particularly funny things that we did and I saw her do. I mean, I've got one called Mama's Possum Vest. She got a possum coat from Goodwill. Oh, my
possum
gosh.
Coat.
She didn't know it was possum, and that's funny. Oh, my goodness. And just some hilarious things that we did on the road and things that she just, her wives' tales and stuff like that. Like, don't you get on a pogo stick. You want to have a baby? Well, yeah. So just the funny stuff. And Tootsie,
something
too.
Something about climbing up on a ladder and your uterus
would
fall out.
They swore by that one.
They swore by that one.
Don't you get up on no ladder, because Tootsie was gullah. I mean, she was low country gullah. Don't you get up on no ladder, you lose your female parts. And I'm thinking, can't you just see the people at Walmart? We got a uterus on aisle four. We got a uterus on aisle four. But I would just die.
It's running away. It's running away.
And
not to be returned.
And I'm speaking in Virginia, and I'm riding with this guy that gave me a car service, and he talked like this. And I said, Tom, are you from Virginia? No, ma'am, I'm from Beaumont, Texas, like that. And I said, oh, do you ever go back? Yes, ma'am, go see my mama. And this man is old.
Right?
And I'm thinking, Lord, his mother must be as old as Yoda. And I said, well, is she in pretty good health? Oh, yeah. Oh, well, about 3 months back, we almost lost her. I said, really? What happened? Oh, her uterus done fell out. And of course, I said, did she work at Walmart? Because every time we go to Walmart, there'd be a woman up on a ladder, and my mother would say, her uterus is just going to fall right on the floor. So, I mean, it was that kind of stuff. So, it's got some really funny stories. It's got a section. It's a very personal section that I talked about. It's called The Dark Pearl. Mm-hmm. I researched the Dark Pearl. It's the Tahitian, right. And it is the most valuable. They used to throw them away. Mm-hmm. But one in every 10,000 is the Dark Pearl. So is that valuable and rare? Absolutely. Are dark times in our lives valuable and rare if we make them valuable?
Sure.
If we find the value in the dark times. So it's got a section on that. It's got a section on irregular pearls. It's got a section on, it just uses seed pearls, which are the good decisions we make. They can also be bad decisions.
Sure.
So it uses the whole analogy as we string our strand through life.
And sometimes it can be very, very long and very, very different, I would presume. It cannot all be one strand of pearls. They could be all different types of
pearls.
And
it should be. It should be very eclectic. And what happens when God allows your pearls to pop? You know, in Ecclesiastes, it says it's a season for everything.
Right.
Sometimes we have to remove some pearls that we might be holding on to that are really not valuable to us anymore. They aren't good for us.
Right.
And so we have to take pearls off sometimes. So it uses all of these analogies. I think it's going to be a good, I tell you, I had fun writing it. It was hard. I cried a lot because it reminded me of my mother and some sad things. And my sister died right after my mother died. And those were very influential women. And then my mother-in-law passed away. She lived in Greenwood at an Alzheimer's unit. And my very last chapter is called A Mama Jewel at the Pearly Gates. Because she was a jewel of a person. So I did the tribute to her at the end. The book's dedicated to my mother, but I had to put in my mother-in-law. She was an amazing woman. So it's the editor goes, I love your book. You know, she said, it feels like I'm having a cup of coffee sitting chatting with you. Because she enjoyed the story. And I got edgy, and it's a Christian book. Mm-hmm. But I pushed it pretty hard, and they let some stories go through that. I've got one story called Hummingbirds, BB Guns, and Jesus. And that's funny.
Sounds
that
like
makes
it should
sense.
Be.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got some funny things in there.
You know, the thing about it, Jane, is though, as we all get older, death becomes so much closer. And our friends and the people that we've known all our lives, you know, and you can start to feel so alone.
You can.
Because the people that you are so close to are no longer there. And therefore, those are the people that you can always look at and say, well, I don't care about what she thinks. She knows me.
Absolutely. You know, and I felt like when my mother passed away, that's like if I'd call my mother and said, Mama, you know, I ran over somebody and it's not good. And she'd say, well, honey, you had a reason to. She'd always, it was like your last cheerleader.
Right.
You know, they always, I do this to my daughter.
Right.
Mom, I made a mistake. Oh, honey, you did not. Let's just don't think about it like that.
So, well, fiddle-dee-dee.
Yeah. Yes. That's right.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's hard to say goodbye to those people that cheer you on and love you unconditionally, and you're right.
And understand you. You know,
yes.
I think sometimes that's the thing. And in today's world where people are moving and not having those root connections that they've had all their lives, you know, and all of a sudden you're in a different environment and you don't form the friendships that you had growing up.
Oh, I was so fortunate. I lived right down a dirt road from my grandparents. And, I mean, I could zip on my little bicycle and be right there in a yard full of daffodils in the spring and Jell-O and custard and homemade Benny seed cookies and swim off the dock. I mean, I you can't put a price on that. But the connection with family, with so many people are moving so much because of jobs and different things.
Sure. So you don't find those relationships again in life. I don't think. I think it's rare if you do find somebody that you totally connect to, let's say, as an adult.
That's so true. And I say in my book, you only need 6 friends, 3 on each side of your casket. You shouldn't have a million.
Hallelujah. I don't have to worry yet then.
No.
I got time, Jane. I can find 6.
Find them.
Okay, sounds good. Hey, we're here with Jane Jenkins Herlong. We're having a good time. She's helping folks laugh more and live better. That's right. She's got a new book out. It hasn't out yet. Doesn't come out till November 17th. Bury Me With My Pearls. How appropriate to be right here at a jewelry store, Jane.
Yes, and I love your pearls.
Well, thank you.
They're awesome.
I like yours too.
Thank you.
Right. Absolutely. Hey, it's time for the news. We'll be right back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe Cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Ah, that's right. We are right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 Bypass. Talking with Jane Jenkins Herlong. I feel like we're having a therapy session over here.
Yes, it's great, though. Love it.
It's good. Yeah, it is good. And you know what? It's good when you can share things.
Oh, definitely.
And I think sometimes we get, don't you think in life that people get too afraid to share? They keep the walls up and don't want anybody really to know except the persona that they put out there.
I love cellophane people.
You love cellophane
people?
I love them.
I love them. You see right straight through their heart. They're not, they just, they let you in.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's healthy. Sure. You know, I think it's, you know, you have to balance that, of course. You don't want to be weird about it. But I think when you know you can trust someone and you feel comfortable and you know they're a person of character and they've been down a journey, I'm fascinated to talk to folks and just see how they've, like, that's why I love to travel and fly. You sit by perfect strangers.
You'll never see them again.
Oh, no, and they tell you stuff and finally you end up saying, like, Lord, I wouldn't have said that. But
now you're sitting there going, oh my God, this is great material.
You said.
Yes. What was your name again?
Bubba.
And where do you live?
Billy Bob.
Yeah, there you go.
Got to get that Southern humor going.
Exactly. So, how has your journey been since you've written the book? And I mean, I know it hasn't come out yet, but what's changed about what you're doing?
I think it helped me isolate what I do best, and that is the humor. And I'm a humorist. I used to say motivational humor, but. Who cares about that? People just want to laugh.
Who cares about motivation?
Yeah. And then the music's been fun because I know you play the Waffle House Virgin song.
Yes. We'll play that one again before you leave.
It's just a spoof on being young at heart. I have a friend who's very young at heart. So I just dedicated that to her, and she'd never been to the Waffle House. And honey, she liked them grits and them eggs after we had our little Valentine party there. It was funny. Just hilarious. But
kind of an interesting place to go to for Valentine's, Jane.
Well, you know what? But what? Several Waffle Houses will dress up for Valentine's. You got to find them.
Right.
We had to go to Aiken to find this one. That tablecloths and all. It was hilarious. I had a ball.
You're making this up.
Oh, no.
No.
You go online and see who's going to dress up for Valentine's. They had a poll with like a sheet or something, and we had our picture made. I wish I had the photo. I know. I was just telling about Thomas and I going to the Waffle House for Valentine's Day, and we had 12 people. And I'm thinking, no more. Where am I going to get my material? I mean, I've already made fun of y'all. I just need to find other people. But it was truly funny with my friend Jean, who said, "Which I've never been here before." So we just had a big time with that.
Well, you like to do parodies.
I love parodies. One I just wrote is to the tune of Get Me to the Church on Time. This is legal, by the way. Parodies are legal.
Right.
And it's called I'm Getting Married at Walmart. It's funny.
Yes.
I'm getting married at my Walmart. Cha-ching, the register will chime. They got a greeter. Bring your own preacher. A Walmart wedding is divine. It's funny. That's a snippet.
That's a snippet.
A snippet.
And how do we get more of the snippets here?
Oh, it's on. They're playing that on. Are they playing that on Blue Collar? Yeah, they started playing Walmart, the Walmart wedding song. And then I'm a she, S-H-E. I call that a Southern home executive. I drag my weary self to bed. Don't touch me. I'm half dead. My drawers, I swear. Leave me alone. Underwear. I am a she, a Southern home executive. So it's cute. And then Leaving on a Jet Plane is my other one about TSA frisking you. You know, so frisk me and smile at me. Tell me that they'll wait for me. Throw away my espresso coffee. Because I'm a leaving on a jet plane. Make sure my liquids do not flame. They're going to be
bravo,
on iTunes. Thank
bravo.
You very much. It's going to be on iTunes and all that downloadable stuff. I haven't loaded them up. I just left the studio a couple weeks back, and we added steel guitar, which makes it real whiny and fun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, look out, Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh, I know. Look out, Larry. I'm coming after you. I'm nipping at you.
I was watching him the other night as he was traveling around, and he got out of a car, and his underwire was a little low.
Underwire was a little low. It must be the leave me alone kind.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't touch me.
Yeah. Kind that makes you go, ooh, Larry, pull those up, please.
What does Jeff Foxworthy say in the South? You know you're a redneck when say no to crack means to pull up your pants.
Yeah, there you go.
So it's just fun. It's just whatever my mind and can help people to. When I sing that Walmart wedding song, people just laugh. And I hook it on to a funny story about seeing someone propose in Atlanta Airport. And I started thinking, why would they propose right by Nathan's Weenies? That's nice.
Yeah, you know,
Concourse D, Gate 26. Then I thought, well, my husband didn't do much better. He proposed to me at the Lizard's Thicket. That was so scary.
Yes.
Yes. And okay. I asked him later, what possessed you? He said, you know, we were eating the collards and the sweet potatoes, and I had a funny feeling in my stomach. I thought it was love, but it was the collards. So that was good. That's romance. So then I sang that funny song. But Thomas is real sophisticated, but that was just a funny moment for us.
Now, I need to ask you.
Uh-huh.
Honey Boo Boo.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen her?
Oh, honey, I've been to Macon.
You've been to Macon.
I was speaking in Macon and went by, shh, it's a wig. It almost got in a wreck. I had to turn around and go see the, shh, it's a wig. It was hilarious.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I've watched it. And I was channel surfing, and I really was, and I came across Toddlers and Tiaras, and it had June and Alana on there. And I went, oh my gosh, there's a show in the making for those two.
So you nailed it before it ever became
a show. Yeah. I kept telling my housekeeper, you missed your chance. You could have been on there. But she's worse than that. Oh, she's wonderful. But she's very funny. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's just, you know, and this is what I think about that. This is my theory. And people don't like to hear this because all my friends watch Downton Abbey and I'm Honey Boo Boo.
Right.
Okay. I mean, I'm not consistently Honey Boo Boo, but I will watch an episode or two. But I think there's a little Honey Boo Boo in all of us. We just don't want to admit it. We all just want to do something and not care what people think.
Just want to be outrageous.
Just outrageous.
Outrageous. Once in a while.
Yeah.
Just be outrageous.
There's a teeny little bit of Honey Boo Boo in all of us. And it might never come out, but there's that thought. What if? What if?
You know, the thing, though, what do you think is the future for a Honey Boo Boo?
Well, I think the other little child coming up is probably going to trump her. You know, I mean, it's all based on a little girl in pageants and a family that does outrageous things. And she will grow up and it will play out. They're probably going to next focus on this baby girl that came into the world with two thumbs on one finger. You know, what Shuggy said, it's like a Swiss Army knife. She's special. But stuff like that, it just cracks me up.
Well, I figured you might be a Honey Boo Boo.
It's just a fascinating thing. I think the child is pretty smart. I mean, some of the stuff is real off the chart, and I don't like it when it gets vulgar. But she really does love those kids, and it's her way of loving those kids. And some of it's not healthy, like the way she makes scatty, which is butter and ketchup. Good grief. But there's something fascinating about the fact that they just are who they are, and they just don't care.
Do you think that the producers of the show and everything are keeping them in this zone? I understand she, June, has put money aside for them to have the education, whatever they want.
Right.
She's doing these type of things, but are they holding them there? Would they be the same if it wasn't for this reality show?
I think they would be, but I also know from going to It's Wig, they tried to get them to say things so it would be kind of edgy.
Right.
And the woman said they wanted me to comment on some of the comments June made about her wigs, and she said, no, I'm a Christian woman. I'm not going to say that. So they feed them lines. I mean, that's just reality TV stuff that they do. So, but I think they would still be who they are. We just wouldn't know who they are. But I'm going to be honest with you, Ann. I can go 10 miles from here and find the same family.
Oh, my gosh.
Not Greenwood necessarily, but I can go to Johnston. I can find those people in Johnston. I mean, I know. I've emceed little girl pageants.
Right.
I've seen a million of them.
Yeah.
They're just in the background, but they're out there.
Okay, well, there you go, Honey Boo Boo. And,
yep.
You know, did you see it the other night with this Smell-O-Vision?
I did not watch that because I thought that was pretty nasty. So I didn't watch that.
Was interesting? We were talking about it on the morning show this morning with my partner. She has a granddaughter, and the granddaughter wanted to watch it. They had pulled out the little card,
mm-hmm.
and all the smells were nice.
Oh.
So you thought they were going to be grotesque. Now, who knows what the next three for next week will be. But these three were like the good smell of a clean baby and things like that. Aww. So here you thought they'd be vulgar and just disgusting, and they weren't. So there
How
you
about
go.
That? I did not see that.
All right. Well, we are here with Jane Jenkins Herlong. She's got a new book out, Bury Me With My Pearls. We're just having a good time talking about the pearls of life. Don't you go away. We'll be right back.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. And I am here with Jane Jenkins Herlong. And I tell you what, we have talked so much about her. What's the name of that song again?
Oh, she lost her virginity at the Waffle House. Waffle House virgin.
Yes, I thought we'd play that for everybody here so they can be laughing about it just like you and I have been. It's quite a song. Here it comes right now, right here on WCRS. Take it away, Jane Herlong.
Dedicated to my wonderful young at heart friend, Jean. We went to the Waffle House for Valentine's Day. Had a ball. And she looked at me and said, I've never been here before. I said, Jean, you're a Waffle House virgin. So this is for you.
She lost her virginity at the Waffle House, sitting in her truck all alone, just listening to Hank on her country radio. He said, meet me at exit 09. Hurry, babe, we're wasting time. In the parking lot, what was her running late. She was a virgin at the Waffle House. They ain't never been that far south. Oh, please be gentle with me. My love is strong as sweet tea. The roar of his cycle made her blush. Leather coat, he ain't changed much. He took her hand, it had been years. Washed away all of her fears. She was a virgin at the Waffle House. They ain't never been that far south. My love is strong as sweet tea. They sat on the bright red stools, just like they did in high school. The waitress asked her,
hun, what can I get you?
She said, you see, I am brand new. Is love on your menu? I ain't never been here before. Just now walked through that door. I am a virgin at this Waffle House. Never order in, just take out. I never let this food touch my mouth. She lost her virginity at the Waffle House.
What's that line about the spoon? I never let the spoon touch my mouth.
I do love that song.
Bravissimo, bravissimo.
Thank you, thank
that
you.
That is fun. And you know what? I think sometimes I would hate to be a person who spent my whole life being so serious.
Oh, yeah.
And I never had any fun. And I got to the end of my life and I just looked back and said, What did I do?
Oh, yeah. Isn't that the truth?
I think, you know, life is made up of experiences, and whether they're good or bad, you know, some mm-hmm. you laugh about, some you may be upset about when they happen, kind of like your story about the...
Airport.
About the airport.
Yeah.
I also like the story about your luggage. That's a good story,
too. Oh, yeah, but my luggage getting all ripped up.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, and that flight attendant woman says to me, now, do we do that yet? And I just dragged it 2 feet. And I said, oh, no, it happened between the belt and here.
It just fell apart.
Yeah.
And all your underwear and everything
is
strained.
Oh, my gosh, I was so embarrassed. Pantyhose and drawers. Mom always said to wear clean drawers. She didn't think on the outside of your luggage. Oh, my gosh, that was just, I mean, I've had stuff like that happen. But, I put on my humor eyes.
Right.
I see things. I mean, just going through the drive-thru at McDonald's one time, I had a girl. I just told the children, I said, we're getting McNuggets. And I told her, I'll take a dozen chicken nuggets. And she said, no, ma'am, it don't come like that. It just come in 4, 6, and 12. And so I just said, well, can I get 2 6s? And she said, let me just ask the manager. It's that kind of stuff, you know. And I had an aunt one time ordering at McDonald's, and it was brand new for her. She'd never been through the drive-thru. And she kept ordering.
She was a McDonald's virgin?
Yes, she was. That drive-thru virgin. And she kept ordering and ordering, and she said she got nervous because there was a line of traffic. And she said the guy behind her got out of the car and said, lady, you're talking in a trash can. You know, that thing. So the humor's everywhere.
Sure.
It is absolutely everywhere. And we just have to find it and enjoy it and laugh.
Sure. You know, I told you I would share a story with you about a woman and a husband who were in business. They had a bakery up in New Jersey. And came time, they decided they would sell the business, and the man that was buying the business came through the business, and he walked back, and the husband really had never been back in his wife's office, her little cubicle area. But over the last 40 years that they had been together in business, and if you're in business with someone, you know, there are transgressions on a daily, and magnify that by the fact that you are married, right? She had written on the wall every transgression that he had ever done. And she had also written how he'd gotten himself out of the transgression.
Whoa.
And so when the man walked back in there, the husband is mortified because he sees all this wall of just all these things over 40 years. And he goes, that's okay. We'll paint that wall right away. You won't ever see that again. And he goes, you're not touching it. That's going to be the relationship room.
Nice.
Yes. So all his transgressions were on the wall for everybody to see futuristically.
Nice. The relationship room.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. We all need to have more relationship rooms.
Exactly.
Nice
exactly.
story. I do love that.
Yeah, I thought you might like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
But those are the things that make up. And you know, when you can look back at things that have really bugged the crap out of you.
Oh, yeah.
And change it.
Well, my cousin Titta. She had a way of handling things, and we all know there are things that we can't fix, control, and we all, as women, we try right. to make it perfect, that nurturing part of us.
Right.
But she was a school teacher for 40-something years, and she retired. And the very last day, a parent was furious at her and put their fist in her face and said, lady, I got a good mind, knock your teeth down your throat. And Cuntita looked at her and said, I'll save you the trouble. She just took out her dentures. And don't you feel like that sometimes?
Exactly.
It's ridiculous the way people react. So why not be ridiculous and laugh with them?
Sure.
You know?
Well, sometimes the best way to disarm somebody is with some humor.
That's exactly what everybody right. says. Just say, that's just downright funny, and walk off or laugh.
Sure.
And it's more people need to do that because we get too serious and we're so called upon. We live in an extremely politically correct society, and I know some of that's necessary, but way overboard in other areas. And it
sure.
stifles us from being able to have fun and enjoy ourselves. And, of course, I do believe in people being appropriate. But some of this stuff is ridiculous, really ridiculous.
Well, it chips away at our culture.
Oh, it does.
You know, cute sayings or things that have been in the past that have just been forever and ever, and it's just like, oh no, we can't use that anymore.
Right.
And I think those are that's a shame.
Yeah, I look at these children, and I think I know why your generation's having a drug problem. Y'all don't have any fun.
Yeah.
you. Y'all can't do anything fun like we did. I mean, we had some fun things going on as a teenager.
Sure.
But it's like, oh, no, they can't do this. Oh, no, they can't do that. So, shoot, I don't know. I just think people need to lighten up, have some levity, laugh, and then learn. That helps you learn.
Yes, kind of like this phrase right here. Do not corner something that you know is meaner than you.
Absolutely.
Now, that is a good one, Jay.
That's good common sense. Oh, I like that one. That's a good blog.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A bumblebee is considerably faster than a John Deere tractor.
Yes.
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 You cannot outrun it.
No, you cannot. That stuff is good.
It is.
It's just good. Like you said, the title of it is Good Common Sense, and you can't get around common sense. It's a shame it's not common as it used to be. I mean, you know, you look at older folks, and Thomas had 8 uncles, and they all were just hilarious. They all lived to be in their way up in their 80s and 90s, and they had super great personalities, and they're just like libraries. Uncle Frank and Aunt Helen, I remember visiting with them, and Uncle Frank said, all Helen and I do say one thing to one another all day long. It's this, what'd you say?
Yeah,
he said, isn't that right, Helen? She said, what'd you say? It's just, they're just so cute, you know, yeah. And that they're gone now, but I just remember how laid back and loving they were, and giving. And those examples are just not before us anymore. And I think and that's what the book's about, too, the legacy of the Pearls.
This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. We can talk for another minute or so. You know, I think that's true, because we have lost the ability in so many ways to laugh at ourselves.
Oh, the most important person is yourself.
Exactly. Or to laugh at a funny situation. That's funny.
It is very funny.
What you just were talking about. But in today's world, is it still considered funny?
Well, it depends on the person. And if they don't have humor in their life, it's not going to be funny.
Exactly.
Can I tell you a real quick story?
Sure,
just happened.
Absolutely.
I was with
a
Miss America executive last week. His name is Mark Angeli. And we were at the Miss South Carolina pageant. And I emceed the gala. It was a lot of fun. But I had this new skirt. And it really looked like the Chick-fil-A cow. You know, the black and white thing. I didn't even think about it. But what made it really funny was I hadn't worn false eyelashes forever. So I put them on wrong. I mean, I kept batting my eyes on. And I couldn't see. I mean, contacts and false eyelashes do not mix. And Mark kept looking at me, and I'm thinking, what is he staring at? And I went to the bathroom, and the eyelashes had become unglued, and I looked. I mean, they were huge. And then some guy walks up to me and says, you know, your eyelashes are weird. He said, but it kind of matches your skirt. You know, but today is Chick-fil-A day. And I just laughed. I said, that is hilarious. But see, if I hadn't laughed at myself, right, I'd be going right now, oh, I'm so embarrassed. I just didn't, you know. But I just had a ball. I couldn't wait till everybody, look at my eyelashes. Look at my eyelashes. Well, my friend gave me some pretty jewelry to wear when we had our anniversary. And I kept touching my chest going, look, it's real. And they said, thank you for sharing. They thought I was talking about something else. It was my jewelry. But it's stuff like that. You got to laugh at yourself.
You're right. You're right. And if you can do that, you will survive just about anything.
Yeah, you truly will. It gives you a whole new perspective. It's like vacuuming your brain.
Yes, absolutely. Sometimes we need to turn it off.
Yes.
So we can turn it back on again.
That's right. Reboot it.
Yes, we
reboot
do.
The way we think.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Well, I know your book is going to be a big hit, Bury Me With My Pearls, coming out in November. How will people be able to get the book?
It will be on Amazon, my website, www.janeherlong.com. And it'll be on there. It'll be a downloadable version. I've got a good publishing house that I've signed with, and it'll be a huge media campaign, too.
Well, that's good.
We're starting in September.
Okay.
For launch in November.
Well, we'll have to have you back on the morning show to call in. You can call in once you get closer to that and give us some pearls of wisdom.
Yes.
There you go.
Love that.
All right.
Thanks.
Sounds
Jan.
Good. Thanks so much for coming out here today, Jane Jenkins Herlong. Where are you headed now?
I am going to Atlanta tomorrow. My husband gets an award in Charlotte, and then I'm speaking in Georgia, and then off to Philadelphia for a convention next week.
How was the Miss South Carolina pageant?
Wonderful. Allie Rogers was the reigning girl.
We interviewed her right here.
Is she precious?
Yes, she is.
Oh, my gosh. And Brooke Mosteller is the new Miss South Carolina. She's beautiful, talented. She will do well at Miss America, I guarantee you.
Wow. So someone to watch.
Yes, someone definitely to watch.
And when is Miss America?
It's going to be in September in Atlantic City. We're all excited.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It was in Las Vegas, right?
It was. I'm so glad it's back in Atlantic City, because I was in Atlantic City and loved it. I was with the last class with Burt Parks.
Right.
Oh, I know. Memories. But Brooke is awesome, but Allie did a stupendous job.
She did.
Precious.
She did. We had her on the show. I'll just tell this quick story. And I said, well, Allie, when you give up your crown, are you going to miss it? And we actually used this quote on a tape that we sent in for something. And she goes, well, I'll tell you this. I am going to miss it, but I'm looking forward to just being a good old college girl.
Yes, she said that several times. She said, I don't think I'll ever wear makeup for a long time. It gets grueling.
Yeah, it does.
It does. Everybody expects you to be woo all the time, and you just don't want to.
Yeah, and when she came in here and she had her high heels,
oh,
she's already a tall, and then she had her crown on. I felt like a midget next
to her.
Oh,
I know. I feel like a midget, too.
Exactly.
I love Allie. Allie's amazing. And Brooke is amazing, too. They're both good Christian girls, which means a lot, you know, to look up to for good principled behavior and character.
Absolutely. Well, Jane Herlong, again, thank you for coming out here today.
Enjoyed it. Thanks.
All right. That's going to do it for us. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. I think the news is about over, so we'll hear a commercial, and then they'll be into the news. And thank you so much. Be back tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock. Be here or be square. Bye-bye, everybody.